Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 25 of Sean Hammer. Excuse me for all my sniffling and everything today. I have been visited by the Herald of Nurgle, and he gave me something pretty crappy. And next up, I might swear a little bit on this episode, so if swearing's not your thing, go ahead and, well, don't listen if you don't want to, but hopefully it doesn't turn you off too bad. Promise not to throw the F-bomb out there as much as I can. Okay, well, first, go ahead with what's going on in Warhammer with me for the last week or so. Well, I've been painting some dryads, excuse me. Anyway, I got a unit done almost, a unit of 8. It turned out pretty good. Not sure if it's really the color I was shooting for when I painted this unit of dryads, but it worked out nevertheless. I'm going to go through and I'm going to put, I think, some type of foliage on their leaves, and I'm going to pull a bunch of this white woodland scenery flower basing. Because where I'm at right now, all the cherry blossoms and whatever, apple blossoms are blooming, and it looks really cool. Dryads are chicks. I wanted something a little bit different. So, here I go. Start a unit of tree can, and that's about it for the hobby this week. good news today, actually. I went to my local hobby store, and they got in the new Horus Heresy board game by Fantasy Flight. I'll be picking that up hopefully soon, and I'll be going over that with you guys. I will probably end up breaking seal on it as I go and going over the contents first. Probably mix it up with a podcast as well about, I don't know, rumors or such. But I'll go through and we'll go with what's inside the box and see how it looks. Also, in the mail today came my Malifaux rulebook, and I'll get to that in a second. Well, a couple minutes, actually. But what I'd like to lead off into right now is I'm going to go over some listener emails. And first one starts off with an email from Charles Luther. He starts off with, "I'm 25 years old. I am currently serving the United States Army after joining at a ripe age of 24. I'm currently at the rank of Private First Class. My hobby life is slim at the best. I own what could be called, if you were binge drinking, an orc army. All of this is a gracious gift from fellow soldiers, from a fellow soldier who was retiring from the military. I love listening to you talk about 40K specifically because you have a real opinion. I'm not trying to be fair or judge it against other races and see how balance it might be." I think he's talking about orcs, and because that's his army he talks about. You said it yourself. This is what I like. Screw the rest. And he's true on that. Basically, so in closing, he states, keep it up. You're doing great. And keep up the great podcast. Let the WOG roll on. Just one of the fans, Private First Class Luther. I'd like to say thank you, Luther. He was actually my first email I received while doing this podcast. And it's nice to actually conversate through via email with different fans who like to listen to me talk on the podcast here. One thing I did like that I cut out of his email is, and hopefully you'll email my talking box. So that's wherever he's stationed right now. He listens to me on the podcast and his iPod or what he's got, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Charles. Next one up comes from a gentleman, Colin McRoberts. He comes up with, "Sean, I've been enjoying your show. I find your content refreshing and new from other shows. I'd say I listen to 40K podcasts the most. The one suggestion I have for you is that after recording, you might want to go back and edit out the coughs, ums, and other indecisive noises." And by God, do I do that. Well, make the noises. We'll get to that in a minute. "As a podcaster myself, I know this can be kind of a pain and time-consuming, and it will also shorten the show, but it makes it better listening experience. Keep up the good work, Colin." Well, thank you, Colin. I did take this, actually, not to heart, but I took this in consideration, and I started last couple episodes. There's the again. I won't edit this one, actually. But editing out the ums and the coughs and such. I know what I like to do is talk, and I just basically talk with what's on my mind or what I'm going through a book or what's happened throughout the week. And he's right. It is time-consuming. And last week's show alone, when I edited all the ums and everything, it took about 8 minutes off the show. And that's just a whole bunch of crap of just me coughing, saying and thinking, basically. So I like to say thank you, Colin. My motto up until that point was, I shall not edit, but it doesn't make sense. Next up, we have AJ Knight. He's a fellow listener, and he started a Bretonian army, and he asked me, you know, different ways to actually start a Bretonian army, and actually, the Bretonian, getting started with Bretonian was a show basically telling him how I started out with Bretonian, with a Bretonian army, and hopefully inspire him a little bit, and I just love it when you guys email me and you tell me about, like, interests and such. But he writes, hey, I just listened to the show about high elves. It wasn't too bad at all. Let me know what to watch out for. I did email him and ask him, hopefully it wasn't dry or boring, but apparently he didn't think it was too shabby. At the very least, you should show those demon trees that I'm painting, put them up so people can see them painted. I plan on doing that. I'm probably going to put them on mybattalion.com until I get hold of the server I have now and figure out what to do. I want to get a forum, so we'll see where that goes. And they could give you an army, the feeling of wood elves just on the verge of being corrupted. I did think about this. I was actually at the YMCA working out the other day. I thought I could kick myself in the ass, actually. I thought for the same 1,250-point army that I made up, I could use a lot of the undead pieces I have. And do I have a lot of undead pieces. I can put them with the dryad pieces that I owned, placing out some skulls, odd bone here, rib cage there, and paint the whole forest pieces, like the treekin and such, up like burnt trees, like corrupted trees. And still going to use the Wild Riders or Kronos, but maybe use the more devious models, maybe some dark elves on some steeds to make a little bit evil and stuff. But I already started painting. I was like, damn it. He states, have you worked out how to get Skype working with your recording yet? Not yet. I am working on getting Skype so I can actually have call-in shows and have interview guests, maybe possibly some Black Library authors and such, or different people that run some of the armies I'm going over. But he states, if you do a show on Blood Bowl, I'll be happy to be a guest. Anyways, back to work, AJ. And this is sent from the Blood Bowl pitch. I don't know what that is, but I thought I'd just throw it in. About Blood Bowl? Yeah, I got a Skaven Blood Bowl team now. I'm painting some ogres for a friend of mine, and he's going to let me have back some Skaven that I painted for his son many moons ago. We'll see how bad they actually look, but yeah, I'm going to start playing Blood Bowl. I was hoping to get the version for the PSP so I can get a hang of it, but we'll get more into that in the future. Next one, we come from Ray H. I've been in contact with Ray for a while. He's helped me, as well as AJ, come up with a show model that I have. Remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. I'd like to say thank you, Ray, and thank you, AJ, for that. But he writes, I listened to the latest episodes as soon as iTunes had them. I'll listen to the High Elf one again and take notes for my next battle with my friend. Now, I just need to take tips on demons. I think the Greenskins would be running to the hills, so it will be a job for the Warriors of Chaos. He plays, obviously, Greenskins and Warriors of Chaos. He states that hearing the slogan read out loud sounds cool, and people on train must think he's crazy as he starts grinning like the Cheshire Cat at the end of the show when he listens now. He goes on to saying that listening to my podcast is making me curious about 40K, and damn you, Sean, I don't want to play 40K until I've learned fantasy fully. And he states that he's listening to all the shows out there. He's liking the Ray Gun Girl, so he'll probably be buying the track soon. Great job. Look forward to the next episode, Ray. Well, thank you, Ray. I just want to throw that out there. Big thank you. And lastly, we have a email from Stephen Hope. Excuse me. Stephen writes, "Dude, I love your podcast. I threw up a review on iTunes. Every time I listen, it gets just a little bit better. The first ones are honestly pretty bad." I understand. "But you have gotten a groove now. You said that you really listen to the comments and suggestions. If you don't mind, I have a few thoughts." I'm going to answer each one of these as I go through. "Don't change the length. I love the 30-minute shows. As for the 30-minute shows, they are actually easier for me to put on my server. Well, I don't have to put them through FileZilla and download them to another server to put them onto my Podbean site. So most of every show is going to be around the 30-minute mark. There'll be ones like today and the ones about 2 weeks ago, I think I did, labeled Before Sean Hammer. That's a little bit longer. It won't be a lot. There'll be once in a while. I have like an hour show or so, but they're relatively going to stay around 30 minutes. He says, "Please don't say who won the White Dwarf missions." My bad. Didn't think that going through everything that I didn't think about. It's ruined it for anybody, and I apologize for that. And he asks if I play any specialist games. I'd love to hear some. Well, Stephen, let me tell you this. I play everything. I go back, first specialist game I've played was Man of War, followed up by Necromunda, Epic, Warhammer Gothic. I have actually two fleets for that. I have Imperial Guard and the Warriors Chaos Fleet. I also play War Master, and I love War Master. You'll hear me go off one day. I'm going to do a show about War Master as well. I haven't played Blood Bowl yet, but looking forward to it. I've heard it's a really great game, and some of the other podcasts out there really think it's really cool beans, I guess. And is that it? Well, moral of the story is, yes, I do play specialist games. I've tried Inquisitor as well. I got a lot of models, but never actually played the game. And I'll go over a specialist game here and there soon. He states that, "Have I ever thought of having call-in sessions?" Yes. I'm working on getting Skype and working on a format to actually have call-in shows, set up a time or such, or have people email me. Tell me, "Hey, I'm going to be online at this time. If you want to contact me through Skype," and pre-record those conversations and put them in a show. So we'll have that coming up soon as I get a little bit more advanced with this podcasting. He states that I like that you don't have a co-host. This is kind of strange. Someone said it's weird for me to be lonely babbling about Warhammer shit. But this guy, he states that he likes that I don't have a co-host. So I like that too. It probably makes it harder, and it was one of the things that made your earlier podcast not so great. But thankfully, he states, "I think you have it now," and that's good. Number 6 is, "Keep pumping that shit out every few weeks. Love it." And he asked me if I ever play Malifaux. I'm going to say, screw you, Steven, about this Malifaux crap. Okay? Because now I'm into another game. And it actually looks really fun. I got my wife kind of thrown up the idea, too. I know this is a Warhammer podcast, but I'm going to talk about Malifaux for a moment. She's going to play Arcanus. I'm playing the Neverborn. I really like to thank Steven for turning me on to this game. Like I said, I've heard other podcasters talk about it, but I've been hearing nothing but good stuff from this, and I'm going to try it. And I'd like to say, you know, thank you all for taking the time and emailing me. Next show or two, I'll go over some more listener emails. I've gotten quite a few, actually. And just remember, anytime you want to get a hold of me, I do read these things, and I try to answer them personally to you. So a couple of these are a few weeks old that I read back, but read them on the show once in a while. So if you want to send me an email commenting on how you like the show, what you don't like about the show, what do you want to hear with the show, you can do that at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. And I look very forward every night checking my email to see what people have written me. And hopefully I can make this podcast even better and better every day. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, on to the meat of this week's show, and that would be the Blood Angels. First and foremost, I'm going to go on record saying I'm a diehard Space Wolf fan. I don't know how I can say that since I sold my old Space Wolf for Imperial Guard. I was buying them again. Matter of fact, a new box came in last week for me. The battle box with the two squads, Dropout, and a unit of Scouts. I'm going to try not to convert my soul over to the Blood Angels, but it is very desperately hard considering that this book is probably the finest Space Marine book. Well, the coolest. I don't know. It is a good book. And if you're looking at picking up Marines and you want to actually go, you don't know what chapter you want to go with, I'm going to say Blood Angels because from what I've read and what I've seen and what I've put together for my Sanguinary Guard, they are fantastic. So that's my little rant about how great the Blood Angels are. We got the Blood Angels special rules. As always, like other Space Marines, they have the "and they shall know no fear" rule. Second up, they have combat squads, which allows you to take a unit of 10 men, split it in half, and they count as, you know. I think the regular Space Marines have this too. I have not actually looked through the regular Space Marine Codex, so I will have to take their word for it. Another special rule they have is the Descent of Angels. Any Blood Angels unit with a special rule can reroll failed reserve rolls if arriving by Deep Strike. Also, due to the precision of their descent, it scatters D6 less rather than 2D6. Other units in Blood Angels army can arrive Deep Strike, doing so using the normal rules. And finally, we have the Red Thirst. This rule here says after forces have been deployed, but before any scout moves are taken and the first turn begins, you roll D6 for each unit in your army that has a special rule, including units left in reserves. On a score of a 1, one or more models in the squad succumb to the Red Thirst, and an entire squad is treated as having the Furious Charge. Before we get on troops, I'd like to say thank God they made a codex for the Blood Angels. I thought that PDF bullcrap was a whole bunch of crap, and I didn't know why they didn't do this earlier. That said, let's go on to everything here. We'll go through... excuse me. We will go through HQ first. For HQ, we have Commander Dante. 225 points. When you include Commander Dante in the Army of Blood Angels, Sanguinary Guard are troops choices. Which is pretty significant. I think they're beautiful. With minus effect, we'll get to the negative on that in a minute. He's running around with 4 attacks, 2 plus Artificer armor save, leadership 10, 4 strength. He's got a strength 4, toughness and wounds of 4, ballistic skill 5, and weapon skill. He carries artificial armor, and furnace pistols, the Axe of Mortalis, jump pack, frag and crack grenades, iron halo, and a death mass of sanguinous. He is pretty cool. He's had rumors around being called the Golden Boy, so to speak, in the past, and he wasn't really used a lot. For his death mask, before the forces are deployed, you can choose one enemy independent character, and that model has a negative 1 weapon skill, negative 1 wound, negative 1 initiative, and negative 1 attack, all to a minimum of 1 for the remaining of the battle. Also, the death mask follows the rules for death mask given to the Sanguinary Guard. Not bad. His acts of more talus is a bunch of crap. It's just a master-crafted power weapon. It's nothing special. So, I'm not happy with that. He's got the tactical precision, Commander Dante, and if he's joined by a unit, they do not scatter when deployed by Deep Strike. That's not bad. And him and his unit that he's joined have a hit-and-run special ability. Not too bad to look at. I like him, especially now that the Sanguinary Guard are in the model range for the Blood Angels. Before, he was kind of a joke to look at. But not too bad. He could have a better weapon than just a Mastercrafted Power Axe. Is he worth the 225 points? Yeah, I believe so. Next up, we have the Chapter Master, Gabriel Seth. Now, this guy's pretty unique. He is actually a Flesh Terror Chapter Master. He's got pretty much same stats as Dante. He's got three special rules. He's Fearless, Ferocious Instincts, and Whirlwind of Gore. Now, this actually made me think, maybe doing a Flesh Terror army wouldn't be too bad. But, lo and behold, I'm staying to the Wolves. I might actually do Blood Angels, and I'll explain why in a bit, because it's sick. Okay, first he's got the Blood Reaver. It's a two-handed weapon, chainsword. Hits from the Blood Reaver resolved at strength 8 and have the rending special rule. So, he's got Ferocious Instincts. Should an enemy drop its guard, basically for every one rolled to hit Seth in close combat, enemy units immediately suffer an automatic strength 4 hit as the Chapter Master takes advantage of the opening. Not too shabby, but this is why I like. We got the Whirlwind of Gore. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of ability that Canis Whipborn has. But instead of making his normal attacks, Seth can choose to whirl the Blood Reaver in a glittering, gore-splattered arc. If he does, Seth inflicts a single automatic hit on enemy models in base contact to declare whether or not he performed this action before attacks are rolled. Pretty crazy. I like him. He's only 160 points. Not bad at all. Next up is probably pretty much what everyone over the internet, one of the models, everyone's been thinking is pretty nice. It's Astaroth the Grim. 220 points. Same special rules as the Blood Angels, plus he's got Honor of the Chapter. He embodies the whole honor, blah, blah, blah. Units that he joins are Fearless. He's got the Liturgies of Blood. Him and any squad he's joined can reroll failed rolls to hit. Death Company models can also reroll failed wounds. Not too bad. And if Astaroth is included in the army, all Blood Angels, friend or foe, that have the Red Thirst special rule will come to its effect on a roll of a 3 or less rather than just a 1. So it gives you a 50-50 chance, a little bit. If you want the whole Red Thirst thing running through your army. Not too shabby. 220 points. Beautiful looking models. Black wings. They're actually attached to a jump pack, which I was bummed about. I thought it was actually had wings like Sanguinus or whatever his name is. But pretty neat looking model. I know everyone's seen them if you pick up the White Dwarf or just browsing through Games Workshop's website. Next up we have the Sanguinor, Exemplar of the Host. 275 points, 5 attacks, great. 8 weapon skill, 5 ballistic skill, 4 toughness, 5 strength, 2 plus save. This is another guy that unless you got your head buried in the sand, you're going to know who he is. This is the one that's in the last month's issue of White Dwarf that they showed a non-metallic metallics painting on. Be a great leader for an army, especially if you're doing a lot of Sanguinary Guard. He comes with Artificer Armor, Frag and Crack Grenades, Jump Pack, Glaive in Carmine, and that's basically two-handed Mastercrafted Power Weapon. He's got the Avenging Angel special rule, And when you place them on the table, you choose one of your opponent's HQ, and the Sanguinar rerolls fail to hit wounds against the chosen unit for the rest of the battle. He also comes with Sanguinar's Blessing. When your force is deployed, randomly choose one sergeant in your army to receive a sacred blessing. The model has a plus one weapon skill, plus one wound, initiative, and attack for the remaining of the battle. Let's see. He has a 3 plus invulnerable save, and he's got Aura of Fervor. All friendly units within 6 inches of him, except for himself. Next up, we have an oldie but a goodie. We have Mephiston, Lord of Death. This is a high stat librarian, basically. He's just like freaking awesome. I've heard people say that he's got the stats of a Tyranid Hive Tyrant. I'm not going to go too much over him. I don't want to get too involved with him. But he's not bad. He's not using a new model. They're just redoing the old one. Next up, we have Captain Tycho. This is a lot to be said. He's 175 points, and there's actually 2 versions of Commander Tycho that you can choose. You have to choose before the beginning of the battle or during army construction, of course. One is Commander Tycho. Before he loses it. And next up we have Commander Tycho. After he loses it. And when he joins the Death Company. The first one, which is Captain Tycho. Weapon skill 6. Ballistic skill 5. Strength 4. Toughness 4. 3 wounds. Initiative 5. 3 attacks. Leadership 10. And 2 plus armor save. Commander Tycho Death Company has a boosted attack and weapon skill value. He comes with Artificer Armor, Bolt Pistol, and Frag and Crack Grenades, and an Iron Halo. He's also got Blood Song. This is a combi melta that can use special issue ammunition, as for the Stern Guard. He's got the Dead Man's Hand. His close combat attacks ignore armor saves, and roll an additional D6 for armor penetration. The Dead Man's Hand can also include a set of digi-weapons, allowing Tycho to reroll a single failed roll to wound each assault phase. For the Commander Tycho, Captain Tycho, we have he has right to battle. If he's on the battlefield, all other friendly Blood Angel units use his leadership for the morale and pinning test. Pretty damn snazzy. 10 leadership, not bad. Next up, we have still Commander Tycho, but this is the Death Company. And if I run Tycho, if I was to ever do Blood Angels and run Tycho, this is how I take him. He's got the Black Rage. He's fearless. He feels no pain. He has fleet, furious charge, pervert enemy orcs, and he's relentless. Yeah, baby. That's the way to roll. That's the way to roll. Okay. Next HQ, we have Librarian, which are basically pretty much the same exact as for regular Space Marine Librarian, so I'm not going to go over too much on it. Next up, we have the Reclusiarch, which is basically like a priest for you. They carry the liturgies of blood, honor of the chapter, special rules. Okay, honor of the chapter. When he joins the unit, they become fearless. Liturgies of blood. Chaplain and all members in a squad can reroll failed hits. Rolls to hit. Models and Death Company can also re-roll failed to wound as well. Not bad. Going on still to HQ, we have the regular captain, which is basically cut and dry regular Space Marine captain. Of course, with the Blood Angel special rules. Well, actually, I've not seen it. And we have the Honor Guard. 115 points. Doesn't count towards your HQ selection. 5 guys. Not really bad. I won't go too much over there. Next up for elites, we have the chaplain. Basically, everything you expect to see of a chaplain. Pretty close to a Ruchelark. And then we have the Sanguinary Guard, which I think are by far the coolest looking Warhammer 40k pieces out there. And the kit comes with 15 different heads. I'm going to use the death masks because I think that's where it's at, baby. These guys are running around with fours for their first four stats. One wound, initiative four, two attacks, leadership 10, and artificer armor. You can only have five in a unit. Kind of a bummer. They have an Angelius bolt gun, artificer armor, glaive, and carmine. Frag and crack grenades, and a jump pack. That's their war gear. And we'll go over a little bit and say, what the hell is Sean babbling about? So, the Angelius bolt gun. It has a range of 12, 4 strength, 4 AP assault, 2. Not bad. It's got they have the glaive, which is a two-handed mastercrafted power weapon. And they have the death mask. An enemy assaulted by one or more units equipped with a death mask must pass a leadership test or be reduced to weapon skill 1 for the duration of the assault phase. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Don't forget that these guys also fall under the Descent of Angels, the Red Thirst, and they are fearless. Unfortunately, without even touching them with extra stuff, they cost 200 points. Hey, we'll just go from there. Next, we have a Furioso Dreadnought. Furioso Dreadnought, sorry. Oh, my God. All I gotta say is you're going to see a lot of freaking Dreadnoughts on the board now. This Blood Angels book has allowed you to take some in elites, troops, and da ba da bum, heavy. Theoretically impossible to run a unit that is just almost all Dreadnoughts, plus the fact that this Dreadnought here can be a Librarian as well. So it could be a Psyker Dreadnought. We'll go over their special rules right now. They can have a Magna Grapple, which allows them to pull somebody closer, especially a tank. But I think it's a note to mention that they had the Blood Talons. And this upgrade is for free. Now, this is a sickening upgrade. It makes no sense, and it makes the Space Wolf Dreadnoughts look like little pussies. Sorry if I offended anyone with that, especially any Space Wolf Dreadnoughts, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, I have some Space Wolf Dreadnoughts listening to the show on a regular basis, you know. If a Dreadnought is wielding two such weapons, the Blood Talons follow the same rules as Lightning Claws. But in addition, the Dreadnought has two Blood Talons. The following rules apply. You ready for sickening? For every unsaved wound caused with a Blood Talon in close combat, the Dreadnought immediately makes an additional attack. These extra attacks can generate further additional attacks in the same way until no further unsaved wounds are caused or all the enemies are slain. Wow. Where the hell is this for the Space Wolves? I mean, this thing can seriously, it could take on a freaking unit and, like, decimate it. You're going to have to basically throw other Dreadnoughts against it or something that doesn't have wounds to battle against it. That said, next up we have Terminator squads. You got your Assault Squad and your regular Terminator squad. If you have a unit of... If you do bought the Space Wolf... I mean Space Wolf... If you bought the Space Hawk box set, I would run Terminators because the Space Hawk Terminators are pretty extravagantly beautiful. They are nice. Other than that, I wouldn't take them. There's too many other good stuff you can take with your elites. Next up, actually, Tech Marine is in the elite section. I wouldn't really bother with them too much. Just regular Tech Marine. We have a Stern Guard Veteran Squad. A lot of people don't like these. They're 125 points for five guys first and all your regular Stern Guard rules if you're familiar with them. Special ammunition, such. Next up, we have the Sanguinary Priests. You got 1 to 3 of these as an elite choice. Independent character. Blood Chainsword, stuff like that. Not bad. You want to run some more, you know, priests than anybody else. Two attacks, one wound, unfortunately. You can upgrade one, or you can include one, to Brother Corbulo as a Sanguinary Priest for 105 points. He's a little bit better. He's got two wounds. And he's got the Far-Seeing Eye. I'm not sold on Sanguinary Priest. It's really there for flavor, I guess, if you got need a 50 points to throw in there. We have tactical squads. We have troops. Basic Space Marine troops with the space with the Blood Angel rules. We have the Death Company. Unfortunately, very friggin' expensive. 2 attacks. Leadership 8, 3 plus save. You have jump packs. It's not really worth it for the points of a jump pack, 15 points. You can buy extra Death Companies, up to 27 of them in a unit for 20 points per model. Then by the time you put a jump pack on them, they can be 35. But it says any Death Company can replace a power weapon or chainsword with a power weapon. Replace their bolt pistol and chainsword with, a power weapon, a power fist, or a thunder hammer. These guys suffer from the Black Rage, which just gives you rage. And unlike the old copies of Blood Angels, you don't have to roll in the beginning of the game to see who you lose to the Death Company. You can actually buy them this way. You can also add a Lamartes, Guardian of the Lost, for 150 points to this unit. I'm not going to really sold on it because I'll tell you why exactly I would run Death Company and why I would run a lot. In the troop selection for 120 points is a Death Company Dreadnought. Holy shit. It comes with Blood Fist with built-in Storm Bolter, Blood Fist with Melted Gun, and Smoke Launchers. As Rage, None Can Stay My Wrath, Furious Charge, and Fleet. For free, it can replace both Blood Fists with a pair of Blood Talons. The built-in weapons are retained. And it can select a drop pod, which, when we get to heavy support, drop pods are bullcrap for this army. I'm just going to say that right now. Bullcrap, because they have the coolest thing in the world in this book. And, by God, when they release the model, I'm going to have it. But the None Can Stay My Wrath is the Death Company Dreadnought ignores crew shaken and crew stun result. So this thing's a beast. For 125 points, you don't even have to put anything on it. He's friggin' amazing. With 4 attacks. He can have a magnet grapple if he wants. So he'd be like Scorpion off of Mortal Kombat. You can make the little pun of, come here, every time you do it. The only bad part about it, and this is conjunction why I take naked Death Companies, you can include 1 Death Company Dreadnought for every 5 Death Company models in your army. So you're going to see Sean, if he ever runs a Blood Angel army with a large unit, at least of 15 Death Companies, about 300 points of Death Company, so I can run 3 Death Company Dreadnoughts. My HQ will be Dreadnoughts. You get the point. Next up, we have Scouts. Basically same. Assault Squads, basically same, with the exception of the squad can remove its jump packs to count as infantry, but then can have any dedicated transport and a negative 35 points discount. They have, of course, the Combat Squads, Descent of Angel rule with Red Thirst, and they are a little bit cheaper than regular Assault Squads with jump packs. Sounds like this army wants you to do a little bit of salty. We have, next for dedicated transports, we have a Rhino. 50 points, vehicle, and Blood Angels Rhino is fast. A Razorback, 55 points, same thing as a Razorback, and it's fast. Drop Pod, 35 points. I'm not going to say it because it's fast. No, you just drop it. Land Raider, 250 points. Regular, little regular thing about Land Raider, not too special, except for the fact, yes, boys and girls, this is a deep striking assault vehicle Land Raider. Hey, you can drop it in. Land Raider Crusader. Oh, don't forget we can deep strike this too. Hell, why not? Land Raider Redeemer. Let's deep strike that too while we're at it. Wow, boys and girls, a deep striking Land Raider. I'm not going on about that. Not so much. I see myself ignoring these guys. Land Speeders, the same. Battle Predator, fast tank. coming in with twin links assault cannons, but why would you do that when you can replace the twin links assault cannon with a flamethrowing cannon? Yeah. You're going to have an army, Blood Angel army, that's going to put a corn army, the freaking shame how fast they're getting across the board, and smash you in your face. Next, we have an attack bike squad. Attack bikes. Bike squad, and scout squad. Same as what I feel about everyone else's. Unless you're doing white scars, it's not worth it. Heavy support. We have the Dreadnought for 105 points. Okay. Let's see. What can we do with this guy? He can have... he's got the Red Thirst. Let's not forget. The Dreadnoughts have Red Thirst. I mean, come on, people. You can... not too bad. We have a regular Predator. Devastator Squad, which is... I'm going to actually own one because I like the different color heads. I'll get to that in a minute. We have Vindicator and a Whirlwind. And I'm leaving out one because best for last. 200 points. You can have a Storm Raven gunship. Ballistic skill 4. Front, side, and rear armor 12. It's a vehicle fast skimmer. Yes. War gear on this is twin linked heavy bolter, twin linked assault cannon, 4 blood strike missiles, and ceramite plating. Basically putting metal weapons down a notch. Transport capacity, 12 models, and or 1 dreadnought. Oh my god. Here you go. You have a unit of Sanguinary Guard I would put on it, and a Death Company dreadnought on the back, just to say, ha, I did it. And we're talking about a flying Predator, basically, with a little bit more armament than actually... anything else in this book right now. It's got Deep Strike special rules. The Storm Raven can carry 2 separate squads, 1 unit of up to 12 models in his cabin, plus a single dreadnought in his rear. Unlike other transports, the Storm Raven can carry jump infantry. They take up 2 points of transport capacity for the purpose of claiming a contesting objectives regard you use from the base. Yeah. All models in the unit are... okay, never good. Ceramite plating. Units do not gain the extra D6 for armor penetration when shooting at the Storm Raven gunship. Bloodstrike missiles, 72 inches. Strength 8, AP 1. Heavy 1, one shot. The access points has 1 access point at the front of its hull, 1 on either side, another at the rear, so you can get out anywhere on this biatch. It's an assault vehicle. Models disembarking from the Storm Raven can launch an assault on the turn they do so, providing a Storm Raven did not deep strike. It's got Power of the Machine Spirit. I forgot to look at that. The vehicle can fire 1 more weapon than it usually could. Skies of Blood. The Storm Raven has moved flat out. Passengers can still disembark, but they must do so as follows. Nominate a point over. Basically, jump out. It's kind of like the Valkyrie, I think that's how it works. But 200 points, you got yourself a mini freaking Thunderhawk. And if you don't think that's cool, and you're playing this game, and you're upset, you're not upset if you don't have a Storm Raven, I'm sorry. I think the Grey Knights, I read something about the Grey Knights might actually be having one of these too. I think that just might be... yep. Most notably active in service to the Grey Knights and the secretive Demon Hunters of Titan. So hopefully... when we go over rumors, we'll actually see something about a Storm Raven possibly being in a Demon Hunter army. So this is the Blood Angels Codex. I didn't go over psychic powers because they're cool. They really don't do nothing for me. The color section of the book is pretty nice. All the pictures of the Sanguinary Guard and the captains and nice jobs. It's got the Terminators. It's got 1 picture of Sergeant Lorenzo from the Space Hawk release. The thing I do like about the Blood Angels, though, is in the book is the different... they do the head coloring. All the models are red, minus the head. For Stern Guard veterans have gold heads. Honor Guard are all gold. Sanguinary Guard are all gold. Blood Angel Tactical Marines have redheads. The Assault Marines have yellow. The Devastators have blue. And Veterans have gold. Plus your Death Company with a black armor and everything. It looks for a really nice looking army all put together. And it gives your units a little bit more clarity on the battlefield of what role each of them follow. Whether they're Assault, Heavy, or whatever. Without actually looking at their squad markings on their side and their shoulder pad and stuff. And I'll be honest with you. Red is a nice color to paint. Gold is a nice color paint. And black is an easy color paint. So this army could look fantastic in the hands of a novice painter as well. Will I play it? I don't know. I really like my Space Wolves. I haven't done anything yet. So it's like, basically, I own a unit of Sanguinary Guard and unit of Grey Hunters. And I haven't started either, really, so I don't know which way I'm going. I just might go the Blood Angels. No. See, I don't know. If anyone can help me out with this little dilemma, let me know. I do have a Demon Hunter force, so if they do get like a Storm Raven or whatever, it's looking promising. Maybe I'll go that route. But that, in a nutshell, is the Blood Angels Codex. Nice art. Weighing in at 96 pages. A new transport gunship that is fantastic. Two stats for one character, depending what you want to use. Dreadnoughts up the wazoo. And everything else, basically the regular vanilla Space Marines. But pissed off. It's got a lot of neat background story to it. And if you're trying to decide what Space Marines you want to play, this would be a definite choice. It's a nice looking army. The new kid on the block. And definitely something watch out for in the future. And we'll see where it goes from when Games Workshop does the Raddus for it, or if they even do anything. I'm going to lay off with that for this episode. I'm going to thank you all for listening. Thank everyone for the email. Remember, if you need to get a hold of me, you can contact me at Sean, the number 9, at seanhammer.com. You can follow me on Twitter. You can befriend me on Facebook or on podbean.com. And please, if you feel up for it, please, I appreciate the iTunes reviews. And I'll be running a contest again pretty soon. And I'll basically judge that on the coolness of email. Like, I don't know, I'm not going to say nothing. I randomly go through my email and iTunes reviews before next show or right after next show, and I'll figure out randomly who won it. And it will either be a Black Library publication, which I do not know yet, or it will be a Skaven army book. Maybe. And, we'll go from there. You know, please get a hold of me. Let me know how things are going. And then, till next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.